this is the case of Carolyn Owlett, a British pop star that found themselves as a victim of identity fraud and online impersonation. Sort of. Welcome to Life World.
I'm so sorry. I'm trying not to.
It's going
to
be this way every time.
There's going to come a time where you're going to use that voice, and I'm going to be like, that's just Derek introducing this show. No big. But this is episode 3, so I'm allowed to get amused by it right now.
I don't know. I kind of want to just live in that persona for a while. I think it might be kind of fun.
Wow.
Just super broody.
Okay, then let me apologize in advance to everybody that you live with, everyone that you work with, everyone that you encounter in the convenience store. Like, I'm so sorry.
I'm just living the brand. I'm taking my online persona into the real world.
Wow. Wow. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to judge. Like, there's a lot of other things I could judge people for. That's way low on the list. So just bring it.
Right on. So tell me about
Carolyn Owlett. Okay. So this case baffles me. Like, a lot of online stuff, I feel like you can kind of boil down into a couple of words and you get the basic idea. So our first case, Belle Gibson, fake wellness blogger.
Yep. Our second case, Courtney Allen, online harassment, cyberstalking.
Revenge porn.
Revenge porn, yeah.
You know, and so that's easy to boil it down. This one, I don't know what to call it. Like, there's definitely impersonation, but it's not quite trolling. It's not quite identity theft in the way that you would normally think of it. Let me tell you about her, and you because you didn't look into this one, right?
No, not really. Like, all I'm going off of is that little scripted intro that I just did. That's about all I know about it.
That's good, because you know, you walking in, like, I heard about this when it happened, so maybe you walking in can bring a different take to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point of the show, isn't it?
I hope so. So Carolyn Owlett is British, lived outside London. She was in a girl group in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, called the 411.
Sure, that sounds right for the time.
You know, and I don't need to hear her to hear her. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know exactly what they sound like, even though I've never downloaded anything. And I probably will after this, just to say I did.
I'm going to take just a stab in the dark and say knockoff Spice Girls.
I was going to say knockoff Spice Girls with more of the, what's it called, when they just sort of make shit up and make noises until they get to the next lyric?
So pop music.
Yeah. Okay. So she, by May of 2009, had retired from the 411. She worked as, like, a producer. She worked as an announcer for some TV shows. She had a couple of songs here and there. But mostly she was able to sort of live off of her income from this girl group. So good on her. I'm gonna switch perspectives. There's a guy in Belgium. He's about 27 at the time this story starts. His name is Régis Remarque. Which, if you look at it on the screen and you don't speak French, it's Regis Remicle.
Sure. Which also sounds like an entertainer name, honestly.
I'm Regis Remicle, and welcome to Life World.
I think we just figured out the host, yeah, the host name for this show. I'm Regis Remicle.
Poor Régis. Régis, he's Belgian, so Régis Remarque, right? Sure. Either one. He's online, and is familiar with the 411, the group.
I'm just trying so hard not to laugh every time of he's got the down low on the 411. It's like, well, God, can this be any more 90s?
Early 2000s, no less. And so there was slightly less in the way of glow-in-the-dark stuff. That's basically the difference.
Oh, okay. Less glow-in-the-dark, more inflatable furniture.
Exactly. Without the flannels tied around the waist. That's the difference.
Well, yeah, that was early 90s, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, it depends on how it was worn, exactly.
Pacific Northwest, so yeah.
Fair. So he's on Facebook and stumbles across the name Carolyn Owlett, which he recognizes as a past and current fan of this group. And he sends a message. She accepts his friend request. He is ecstatic. So they start talking. And the way things go on Facebook, at first you're just buddies, and then you take it off Facebook into messages back and forth. Mm-hmm. They start trading photos, but I mean, like, I'm not talking not safe for work photos, it's just photos, you know? Here's selfies.
Yeah, friendly conversation.
Exactly. Here's what, you know, it was totally sort of progressed in the way, like, a non-stalkery relationship would progress. Mm-hmm. He starts to friend other friends of hers, right? And so now they have mutual friends that they're talking to. But it's all sort of, it feels to him very above board. She starts to share photos of her son. She's a single mom and everything's cool. They start to Skype, but it's not video.
Okay.
Which he doesn't really question because she makes a big deal out of, I need to keep my specific location to myself. I can't let you, you know, you might be able to pick up where I am, but if you look out my windows or I don't know, she had some sort of excuse and he bought it, you know, because if your new girlfriend who happens to be a member of a band that you're a fan of says we can't Skype on video, but you get to talk. I mean,
yeah, I mean, just from a, like, tech standpoint, 2001, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, 2009.
Oh, 2009. Okay. Yeah, less of an excuse then because, you know, cell phones had cameras on them and whatnot at that point. But I would have just said, oh, I don't have a webcam. Like, it's such a specific excuse that just instantly triggered the, wait a second.
You know, it sounds like this guy just sort of took whatever he was told.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You know, that he traveled to the UK at one point for a different reason, and she coincidentally was out of town.
Of course.
You know, as you do.
She's a very busy pop star.
Traveling everywhere, producing things, doing all of the things, whatever. So as far as he's concerned, this gets hot and heavy. It sounds as though she pulled him right in. Like, this becomes love first and then sex second. Mm-hmm. But it's all cyber. It's all mutual. It feels to me like, I don't know, I don't date. But that's what it feels like. It's like sort of how things progress. Like,
yeah, just a natural friendship into feelings into XYZ.
Exactly. And so things are lovely. October 2010. Okay, so almost a year and a half. They met in May 2009. We're up to October 2010.
Okay.
So again, it's not too fast either. Like, this unfolds over a year and a half. She, Carolyn herself, we're back to the actual person, Carolyn in London, installs Messenger and gets what she describes as a weird message from this guy.
Okay.
This Raji Ramak doesn't recognize the name. He's speaking in a way that seems overly friendly to her. Mm-hmm. And this was at a point in time where if you joined a Facebook conversation, like from, you know, a new phone or whatever, you didn't see the history.
Okay.
So for her, this is just without context, but being a member of a girl group in the mid-2000s, you get shit like that.
Yeah.
So she just deletes the message. Just blocks him. Then, maybe a week later, she's walking through a subway station in London. And somebody calls her name. And she turns, because we almost can't not as a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she turns, and there's this guy who immediately starts running after her. And, like, professing his love for her. Now, again, if it's me, I'm running like hell and calling 911 with the other hand. You know, like,
yeah,
the fuck. But being a pop star, this shit happens. People will just see her after a show and say, Carolyn, I love you.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Like, I've definitely been to my fair share of various rock shows and whatnot and seeing those super fans hanging out and having those kinds of conversations. Granted, not like running after them in a subway, but I mean, I wasn't in the subway, so I I wouldn't know.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, like, I can imagine, like, I was buddies with guys that were in a rock band, Godsmack, in the late 90s, and they would talk about how they didn't have a problem with the sort of super fans after a show, because they knew how to expect that.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the guys, and he happened to be really high anxiety and sort of shy, he played hockey with my then boyfriend's brother, which is how I knew the band. And he would say, like, every once in a while, on his way into the rink or on his way into the grocery store or whatever, someone would recognize him. And he said, like, even them saying his name, like, after a while, you get used to it.
Yeah.
But that every once in a while, you run into that super fan, that, you know, the woman who's going to flash you at the concert, she's going to flash you in the produce section.
Yeah, the guy who wants an autograph while you're standing at the urinal rather than waiting until after you wash your hands.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. So she sort of took it in stride in a way that I think that's important, that when I first read this story, I'm like, you know, okay, the weird message, I get it. I see a weird message, I block the guy. But as soon as somebody says my name in a subway station, like, my next stop is the police station. And hers was not. Mm-hmm. So step three is that she's at work and he shows up at her office and again is like professing his undying love for her. He doesn't quite propose, but it sounds like it's on that level.
Okay.
She threatens to call the police. And now again, here I'm already finished dialing 911, or I think it's 111 over there. I don't know. I've already been killed by a stalker by this point, like, as far as I know, so.
You never made it out of the subway.
I didn't. I really didn't. So she's like, wait, hang on. Let's chat first. That seems a little casual to me, but some people are nicer than I am. A lot of people are nicer than I am. Almost everybody is nicer than him.
Yeah, she sounds like an absolute saint, in all honesty. Like, the minute you showed up at the front door of my work, your ass would have been in a cop car.
You know, or something. So, but she looks at this guy and she realizes he's legitimately confused.
Okay.
Like, he really, he doesn't seem psychotic. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know how she had time to get her doctorate in psychology to become an assessment professional, but good on her, you know?
Reading the body language, I mean, you're going to know if someone, you would pick up on that, and you know that.
I mean, totally. And that's, I always joke about how wildly overeducated most psychologists are, because all it takes is being around somebody for like 30 seconds, and you're like, okay, fucked. So there's that. So they sit down and talk. He pulls out his phone. He's got... Mm-hmm. Literally thousands of photographs of her. And they're of her. She posted them. Now, a lot of them she posted to her private Facebook account. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like that's part of where the distinction happened, is that she didn't use a public figure type Facebook page like you could.
Yeah.
I mean, I have one for my own, for Ignorance Was Bliss now, and I'll occasionally get messages that way.
Yeah.
And it shows up in a separate inbox for me. And so that's what it sounds like kind of happened. But some of this stuff was pulled from her private Facebook. But what would happen is she would post it and tag a friend. Mm-hmm. So if he was friends with that second person, he's getting these pictures. He had emails upon emails that he had gotten from apparently her. Like, it wasn't her email address, but it used her name. Mm-hmm. He had chat records, you know, stretching back 18 months.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think about that, and I think about most of my friends. If you've given me, I don't know, like, say your address more than 3 days ago, I'm going to ask you for it again.
Yeah, same.
You know, because I'm not going to scroll back through all that. So I, like, some of this sounds a little bit obsessive on his part. But maybe it's just all at hand.
Well, and just to dig into the Messenger stuff, in all honesty, most people don't even think about this. If you go and click on Messenger, like, pop out its own window on your computer, you'll find messages in there from years and years and years ago that are just archived. Mm-hmm. They don't just auto-delete. So I could I would just assume he didn't delete the threads.
Exactly.
Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, he had all of this stuff. And, you know, and I mean, the way that you would, if you're in love with somebody, you save their photos on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, you download this shit. You have albums set aside for this. And there were some what looked like selfies that were a little more not safe for work, but that didn't show her face. Mm-hmm. And she was immediately like, I didn't take that.
Yeah.
So they get the police involved. They also start talking to mutual friends. And, you know, the police kind of reach a point of like, we can't do anything. Like, no real laws were broken here.
Yeah.
But through mutual friends and sort of doing their own investigation, they're able to figure out that actually the person behind this secondary Carolyn Owlett account is somebody named Christella Erbisella. She is also Belgian. She's 21. And she has been sustaining this identity as Carolyn Owlett for at least a year and a half, maybe longer.
Yeah.
She went out of her way to make friends, including with some of Carolyn's bandmates.
So much wrong with this.
She had the 411 on the 411. Yes, she did. I'm sorry. This was all very careful.
Yeah.
And this is where, I my brain hits a wall because I don't understand why. So, I mean, like, to wrap up the story, they confronted her. Mm-hmm. She apologized and she vaporized.
Oh, of course.
And there's no charges to be pressed or anything because she didn't assume Carolyn's identity for any nefarious purposes. She didn't take money. She didn't, like, arguably, like, she didn't break any laws that existed at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. The argument of what's nefarious and not is questionable, but yeah, like, I get that, that they didn't, I mean, in reality, she didn't break any laws more than a, hey, stop doing this. And if you stop doing it, you're fine, because you, at that point is when it would turn into harassment. They've told you to stop. So if you continue to do it, then you're breaking laws.
Stop, or I'll say stop again. Like, that's all they had.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing about, I mean, it was, what, our last case was in 2012, I want to say, the Allen case, which means, you know, and that was one of the first of its kind. And so laws followed it. This happened 2 years prior.
Yeah.
You know, it happened enough before. Like, I just don't think the laws existed.
I mean, it depends on how you would spin it, because you could say it's slander or libel or whatever.
But she didn't say anything unpleasant or nasty about her.
No, but she did represent this person as, it, like I said, it, and granted, British French law is entirely different. Mm-hmm. But if I go out and make it, and granted, yes, this is what, a decade later. So obviously, yes, there is more precedence. But if I go online and I make an account that says, I'm Tom Cruise, and I use his pictures and whatnot, the most I could do is get it banned unless I continue to do it. And then it is harassment at that point.
All right. You have to be told to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that she did is ultimately why it wouldn't have broken any laws, even today when there are laws in place for it. Mm-hmm. It'd be a slap on the wrist, a ban. That's about it.
Right. And so, okay. Like, I understand why no charges were pressed. Mm-hmm. And it would be tough, as we have talked about before, like, it would be really tough to prove that in a court of law that it was her anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, IP address can come into play, internet protocol address of, you know, where your, which computer was used to do this. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily prove who was sitting at that computer at the time. So it just gets tricky. And so, fine, like, I get that. Why the fuck do you do this?
So in any stories I've seen this way, and I know friends that have fallen victim to, not to this extent, but just people claiming an online persona of, I am this person. It kind of goes back to the first case we covered, where she's a health and wellness blogger. This is the persona she's made, the sick person, because it gets her the attention she needs to get what she wants. Some people just want that attention. So they will make up a story about, you know, I have this sickness, or I'm this celebrity. which at its root form is essentially just catfishing. You're not trying to necessarily meet this person. You're not trying to get money out of them. You just want the attention they're giving you, thinking that you're this person.
So then...
So that's where, when I say, like, it is nefarious to a degree, because they are trying to gain something out of this by doing something inappropriate, that knowing full well that they are lying to this person so they can get the attention that they're seeking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's what starts out behind it, is that, but I don't know. It's to me, what hits me is not the initial level of it, but, like, she went deep.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I'm wondering how much, like, that's where it gets questionable. The amount of work that would have had to go into it is that she got a rush from the attention. Oh, this person believes I'm this person. So they're going to take it a step further to keep them on the line.
Well, true. And, you know, and one of the things, I think what catches me is, I mean, first of all, it's just basically it's doing all of this work for attention, and I'm just so fundamentally lazy that I have a hard time wrapping my brain around, like, doing this much shit. But also, Erbasella, the impersonator, went so far as to make friends and have conversations with some of Carolyn's bandmates and some of her friends and family. Mm-hmm. And none of them picked up on the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that those friendships that she had with those people were probably under her actual name and account. Because, I mean, you don't... If I'm going to impersonate Derek, I'm not going to make a fake Derek account and message Kate on Facebook. Because then Kate's going to message me saying, hey, what the fuck?
I don't know.
There's weird details to the story that kind of, A, raise red flags, because, I mean, it is 2019 and we're a bit smarter about the internet. Air quotes on the smarter. But there's just so much to the story where I'm like, it doesn't really add up to me, because, okay, sure. If she used her own profile to friend these people, hey, I'm a friend of the band. I'm adding all these other people that used to be in this band as well. Kind of makes sense when you see the mutual friends. Once you get one, oh, they know this person. Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll add them. Easy enough. But a couple other things that stand out. So they went to Skype. So there was voice chat. And this guy's a fan of a musician. You think he would pick up on how the voice would be different?
I would think.
In theory?
I would think.
And then third one, you mentioned Carolyn just one day adds Messenger to her private Facebook account and gets this message from the guy. Okay, that doesn't work that way. The messages would have gone to the other account.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, is if there was a public and a private one. So, like, if I get a message for Ignorance Was Bliss, mm-hmm, it doesn't show up in my private account unless I've connected the two of them.
Yeah.
So if the two hadn't been connected through Facebook, if some, like, okay, you can go out now and create an Ignorance Was Bliss 2, whatever, profile, mm-hmm, on Facebook, and somebody could go to that and start messaging and have no idea.
Yeah. But then if you were to log into Ignorance Is Bliss, you wouldn't just randomly get a message from that second account. That's where it doesn't add up.
I don't know. I don't know that detail. I'm not sure how that connect. She just talks about getting this weird message from this guy when she installed Messenger, and it could have been old.
Like, the only way for it to really make sense, at least from that standpoint, and again, no clue how it actually worked. It could have been a message he had sent prior to any of that. Although she says if it was this weird message, that makes me seem like they had already been talking at...
That's what she says. The message seemed very familiar.
Okay. So the only thing that would kind of make sense to me is if this 21-year-old had maybe hacked the account and was messaging from her original account.
Could be.
Like, there's details that just don't quite add up for it to make sense.
It could be. And... Mm-hmm.
But that would explain how she got these other people to add her actual accounts, or how she was able to mine information from them, because as far as they knew, it was Carolyn that was messaging them because it was through her account. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's like I said, those are just kind of the weird red flags that popped up to me of this doesn't quite add up, and it could just be lack of the information itself.
And it could be that this is a really weird case. Like, I don't know what to call it still.
Yeah. At its base, I would say it's catfishing.
So, okay, then this is where, then I guess I don't understand a more common definition of catfishing, because when I think of it, I think of, I catfish somebody because I want to connect with them in some way, and then mm-hmm. ultimately they meet me. Like, I want them to come meet me. I don't want to direct them to a third person.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, there's been plenty of stories of people that never actually meet. They'll give them a fake address to go to and say, oh, yeah, no, this happened, because they don't ever want to meet. They just want the attention. They want to keep them on the line, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah, it just means that I think of catfishing in the wrong way then.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. That's what you're here for. I mean, it makes me wonder what this second woman, this Arabella, is doing now. You know, it's 10 years later. She's 31. What is she? I mean, I don't expect you to know. I just...
Well, she probably went from... She started with Collect and then went to the 411. And then she went 1010, 320. And then cell phones happened. And she ran out of all of those to base characters off of.
That's probably it. There you go. You found it.